Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. Our solutions for center management, family engagement, teaching and learning, and professional development have impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education, with the belief that early educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Lilio, the building blocks for high-quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Hey everyone, it's David Duchovny. Do you ever feel like a failure? Trust me, I get it. Hell, I've spent my whole life almost feeling like a failure. It's appropriate, though, because on Fail Better, my new podcast with Lemonada Media, exploring the world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives, is the whole point. Each week, I'll chat with artists, athletes, actors, and experts about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, I hope we can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out on May 7th, wherever you get your podcasts.
Lemonada.
I'm Kiki Monique, and this is I'm Sorry, the unapologetic show about apologies. And this week, I had to pay my first California utility bill for my new place, and now I need to figure out how I can live in the dark, not bathe, not wash clothes, and still have friends.
And this is Mohamed El-Sheikhi, and literally yesterday, I paid my electricity bill, and I think I don't need light anymore around the house, too, so I get it.
And my name is Oha Lopez, and I have yet again shared my location with Mohamed accidentally. This is my move. I just really want people to know where I am and to join me. For those people who accidentally share location, at least we're safe, I think.
Yeah. Also, Oha, I mean, it does not matter if you share your location with me or not. At this point, literally, I know that you're on a lake.
That is true.
It's so easy to guess where Oha is. Like, literally, if you've been, like, looked for by the FBI or something, everyone's like, she's at the lake. Where do you think she is? Yeah.
First of all, that's so romantic.
Yeah.
The she's at the lake is a great response for, I think, anything. And I feel really good about being at the lake. It's my favorite place. It's Montrose Dog Beach in Chicago, Illinois, and it's the single greatest place on earth. Even for people who don't have dogs, I'll call them dog voyeurs. They come, they hang out. They're people who just want to look at other people's dogs.
No, that makes sense to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say, Oha, I think you might be mad. I don't know if you're going to be mad at me, Mohamed, for this, but Oha, you might be mad. I'm sorry, but avocados and guacamole are disgusting. They make me gag. The texture is wrong. I can't do it. I'm tired of lying and saying I'm allergic so people don't judge me. I just want to say I don't like avocados. I do not like guacamole. And when I see avocados and eggs next to each other, I'm almost dry heaving now because it's the thought of those two next in a bowl together. I cannot. And no, I never will. I just can't.
I feel like between me saying that I hate iced coffee and now Kiki saying that she does not like avocados, I feel like we're literally isolating our fan base that are white women. We're trying to stop them from like listening to the podcast.
Which is like really unfortunate because I feel like this episode is going to be like the one that white women are going to love.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. This is the most white lady episode to date.
I'll say this about guac and guacamole, though. I think the second they started, like, charging extra for it, like, you have to pay $1 extra, like, if you're, like, I don't know, like, at Chipotle or, like, buying just, like, a burrito or, like, whatever, everyone was like, oh, I want this.
Yeah, it suddenly got hot. It was, like, a hot commodity. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, but I feel like if it's free or avocado, and I think people like love avocados because like also avocado is like one of those like things that are just like go bad immediately. So it feels like, you know, there's something about it. No, there's something about it that just like feels like...
Are you saying
like...
avocado's like a fuck boy? Where like...
True, yeah, truly, is, like, yeah.
It's like, charges a little extra, kind of expensive, like exactly. Sort of like soft and buttery, and also kind of elusive and mysterious.
Absolutely, because like you get avocados, and then the next day, avocados are going to be like, I am not the same anymore. I've changed. I am different now. You left me for too long. And I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, I'll just let you know that I do have a bit of a vendetta against an avocado, but it's a specific avocado tree in my grandma's backyard. I'm from Venezuela originally, and we had literally a mango tree in the front yard and an avocado tree in the backyard. And as you walked, avocados would fall, so would mangoes, and they would just rot on the ground. And I probably slipped on avocados maybe 25 times in my whole life. So it's like the Latino banana peel, even though bananas are pretty much the Latino banana peel. But still, I will say, I have both the vendetta against a physical avocado, but truly delicious. Should they be that expensive? What is also, a Haas?
You know what? I feel like avocados are one of those things, like if you go to a place where they like naturally grow, they might taste so much better. It's like when you like buy tomatoes at the grocery store and then you grow your own tomatoes and you're like, is this what tomatoes are supposed to taste like? What kind of shit have I been eating my whole life? Yeah. So I feel like it's one of those things too. So we'll see. I mean, we'll wait. I'll test it in some other country and report back.
Well, whether, you know, if you do love iced coffee and avocados, then you are going to probably love our next guest, or at least this next episode. We have Emily Gellis, which, you know, I just moved to LA. I am from Brooklyn. So Emily is this influencer. She's an entrepreneur. And most recently, she was featured in this new Wondery podcast series called Fed Up, which was about her feud with this dietitian who founded F Factor, Tanya Zuckerbrot. Now, if you weren't paying attention to this feud when it was happening, essentially, Emily's DMs were becoming inundated by people who were allegedly sickened by Tanya's products. And Emily essentially led a crusade for these people, posting all of their stories on her Instagram account, which then led to Tanya suing Emily for defamation, not once, but twice. And Emily is here to share her story and some of the insider details about her feud with Tanya. Emily, thank you so much for joining. This is so funny to me because like there were very specific moments during like lockdown quarantine that stick out of my mind. One was like the celebrities doing that like pass the mic Imagine song, Tiger King, and you and Tanya Zuckerbrot basically becoming like my Real Housewives. Like, look, I fully admit that I love watching rich white women fight. It is my favorite pastime. It is why I love Bravo. Okay. So like, for me, this was like purely entertainment. And it's like, I don't want to make light of it because I know that like this whole story has evolved because essentially you were becoming an activist for people who were sending stories about using the F Factor product. And that's what really started the feud. And for people who don't really know the background, Wondery is doing like a really great 6-part series where they just break down sort of everything that happened starting in 2020 until now. Now, just curious, like when did you find out Wondery was even doing this series?
I knew since last summer. So I did my first, they approached me July or August of 2021. And then I started recording in August of 2021. So I knew for like a year. I kept my mouth shut, which was
Wow. Damn, that must have been
that
hard.
That was very hard for me. But Tanya loves, if I'm excited about anything, she instantly wants to like crush all my dreams. And, you know, so I learned to shut my mouth.
Now, when you heard they were doing this, were you excited or were you kind of fearful that it had been reignited? Because at this point, you had already, now for people who don't know, you have been served with two lawsuits, one in like October 2020 and one in now in March of 2022. So you had already been served the first lawsuit when they started the series. So were you kind of like, I don't know if I want to rehash this right now?
No, I wanted the story to get out there. I want, you know, I want as much potential press attention and spotlight on the story because I want there to be some justice for the victims of this woman and of this diet. So, and honestly, I didn't know what Wondery was in the beginning, but like people in the business and like agents at CAA that I was talking to were like, well, they're good. And this will, you know, if it, you've, a Wondery podcast is a nice shortcut to TV. That's usually what they do. And like, I didn't even know they were owned by Amazon, but I learned that. And then, you know, they told me a few podcasts that I could listen to that were, they felt were similar in vibe. And they told me, listen to Shrink Next Door and Dr. Death. And I was like, okay, I think I'm going to participate.
Yeah. And the podcast has been number one for a while, like for at least a week on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. It's been living at number one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know it's not all the episodes are out yet, but what do you, like so far, what do you think about how they are portraying the story?
I think they made it a little salacious, which is not maybe like what I would want, but I do know that one of the writers on it, Sass Goldberg, has been dying to make it into scripted television for since the beginning. Like she followed it religiously and she like had a whole vision and she was a writer for the podcast and I can see it like living in a streamer like platform, like in a scripted television way. And so I kind of see the episodes in that way. And I think for the most part, like 95% of it I'm happy with. So, you know, I appreciate like what they did.
If they did make this a scripted series, I'm just curious, like who would you want to play you and who would you want to play Tanya?
Okay, I don't know, but Sass said it, so it's stuck in my mind ever since we had this first meeting. She was like, I see Jennifer Lawrence as you and like Julia Roberts as Tanya. And I was like, okay.
I can see that.
I said, you're naming like A-list actresses. Like, I think you're crazy, but sure.
Well, what do you think about it is about this story that ignites like people's like it's a fire inside? Because it's not just like us who have been like following it. It's not just like, you know, people in the wellness community. It really feels like this like universal story somehow. And I don't really know why. So what do you think it is?
I mean, I think a lot of people have made reference to like a David and Goliath type story. I think that there it just depends on like she represents one whole world on Instagram. I represent another. Like she's a more classic uptown lady who cares about elegance or so-called elegance, let's say. Like the downtown I'm not grungy, but like according to her, I live in a pigsty, like, you know, so whatever, make what you will of it. So I think it's how people see themselves and like, you know, people, I think, in the pandemic got tired of like bullshitters on the internet, like not being called out. And she's like a prime example of that. The difference is she has such deep pockets that she can't even be canceled because she's going to keep going. You know what I mean? Like she's going to go on forever because she could afford to have lawsuits, lose money, like, but she's still going to go around gallivanting about her life and crying one minute that I'm her stalker, but then like posting her hotel the next day in Capri. So it's, or whatever, Lake Como. I don't know. She's on vacation every other week. I can't keep track.
Now, was there a moment, because, you know, obviously looking at both sides, and when we DM'd, I was very honest, like, you know, my followers want a deep dive on this and I want to see both sides of it. So I've obviously spent a lot of time on like all sorts of accounts. And, you know, you have to take everything with a grain of salt because I don't know who's behind a lot of these anonymous accounts. I can really only sort of like listen to these stories. But obviously some of the pro Tanya accounts, you know, they'll pull out stuff from your history and they'll say, well, look, there's this picture of you where you're, you know, saying my diet this week is air consumption. And, you know, and look, I'm from New York. Like I get it. Like there was a very skinny culture, diet culture that existed, but did something happen between, you know, that Emily and Emily that, you know, went after F Factor that changed in you?
No, I think like diet culture is what it is, but there's levels to it. Like, I don't know of any other diet getting people this sick. And like, you know, she has a product in the mix that people were consuming that they were getting sick from. So you know, I think people, women go in and out of diets. That's like very normal. Like there's times in my life where I'm so strict about what I eat and I'm really mindful of it and I'm working out and I'm like super in that phase. And then I just had a baby. Like I'm like more like, like, you know, and I don't want to be like so diet obsessed and have that like run my life, especially after what I've uncovered these last 2 years about how sad and how deep the wounds are for people. They've been so affected by this and, you know, it's really hurt them and it's way more serious than it's ever hurt me. So I'm trying to be more mindful of like what I portray on the internet. And I don't want to be a phony. Like, I don't want to be like, I don't diet. And then I'm secretly like eating 200 calories a day, like to lose weight. Like, I don't want to be that person.
Throughout the early childhood years, there are opportunities for every child's potential to blossom, for curiosity to spark, and for a lifelong love of learning to begin. Welcome to Lilio. We develop innovative tools that revolutionize the connection between daycare centers and families and help empower educators, enabling them to nurture young minds and build strong bonds. Through our solutions for center management, family engagement, and teaching and learning, plus professional development through Lilio Academy, where educators can earn continuing education credits at their own pace, we've impacted countless educators, children, and families. We stand as a symbol of quality and commitment to early childhood education, with the belief that early childhood educators have the power to change children's lives and ultimately the world. Join us in nurturing the future. Welcome to Lilio, the building blocks for high-quality childcare. Learn more at www.lilio.com.
Do you ever get hit with a cringy memory of your 13-year-old self out of nowhere and suddenly you're panic sweating and laughing at the same time? Don't worry. We all get that. It's because being an adolescent is one of the most visceral shared experiences we have as people. And we want to talk about it. Join me, Penn Badgley, and my two friends, Nava and Sophie, on Podcrushed as we interview celebrity guests about the joys and horrors of being a teenager and how those moments made them who they are today. New episodes of Podcrushed are out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I mean, we're in this age right now. I mean, I do a lot of the same thing. I call myself a social media journalist because people are really starved for this sort of like journalism that, you know, is more, you know, like I think that bigger publications maybe not go after. They don't go as deep dive as maybe, you know, Instagram accounts or TikTok accounts will do. You know, is there... would you have pursued this so much maybe if lockdown hadn't been a thing? Was it all the combination of like being in lockdown and finding something to do? Is that what blew it up? Or were you going to like go after this regardless? And are there other companies that you're interested in pursuing that you think might be harming people?
Yes. I mean, if I had legal protection, I would be going after plenty of people, you know, bad mm-hmm. people. Like a Dexter, you know, but not like killing people. But like, you know what I mean?
But, killing the brand, yeah.
If I felt protected in some way, I would want to use my platform to do more of this type of work because I think it's really important and I know I helped a lot of people. There's a sad reality, though, in this country. There's wealth disparity and wealth can move certain meters certain ways. And she's able to use her money to influence and, you know, scare people. And she can lose $1 million suing me if she wants to. I don't have that kind of money to be able to do that. I can't do that. So that's a problem for me personally. And I don't think the pandemic, though, is the reason. It didn't make me want to do it anymore. It has nothing to do with me. Is it why people were maybe more receptive to it? I think there were a lot of people that hate her that wanted to see this go down because they felt like she was getting away with something maybe she shouldn't be getting away with. And they knew her personally and they were like, she's not a good person. And then there was the rumblings of the diet. And I kind of talked about this on the Dumois podcast. Like, Dumois got a lot more personal claims about her. I got a lot more diet claims about her. And I really wasn't interested in the personal salacious claims about her. And there's still a lot I haven't even touched. Like, I haven't even brought them up. Because I really don't want to go there. I think her persona speaks for itself. If people are avid social media watchers, I think they can kind of tell her message. I don't think I really need to get into that. Here and there, I've said certain things that I think kind of round out the story, but that's not really my goal. I do think things bubbled up in the pandemic. Like, there were some influencers really pissing people off and they wanted them called out.
Yeah.
But I think it would have happened either way.
Now, one of the accounts that was brought up during the Wondery series was this account, F Factor Facts. And I noticed this week that they went live for the first time. Now, when we were listening to the series, they were an anonymous account. And Romy is her name, has now gone live and done, I think it was like a 60-minute live, sort of like going through this list of stuff. Now, well, what do you think the reason is that she decided to go live? Is it because, is it having to do with the case? Is it because, I mean, I feel like it's been alluded to, like, this whole television series. Is it because there's a TV series and people want to be attached to this to get their side out and they can only do that if they're not anonymous? Like, what do you think it would be?
Well, Wondery wouldn't let anybody go on anonymously. So they needed to they needed to verify their full identity to be a part of the series.
Got it.
I am in the process of finding out Romy's last name to take legal action myself for that account and things that have gone on. But I had to do some digging for that. I did not get that information from Wondery. But they vetted her. They stand behind that they know who she is. My whole thing is that you can't vet how many different people log into an Instagram account. So did she create it? Yes. Is it affiliated to her? Yes. Does that mean someone else can't log in and do shit? I don't think so. So that's my, like, iffy take on that. There's no TV deals that have been, like, signed yet. There's a lot of talking about them, but I mean, I guess, like, I don't think they're going to, I don't know that they would let her go on anonymously. Maybe a victim they would, but I don't think her. But, like, also, like, her, to me, Tanya's more of a cult leader, and this is a cult-like setting, and these people are just, like, diehards. I don't know how she convinces them. I don't know if there's monetary gain for them. I don't know. I might never know. I really have no idea why somebody... I don't have fans that would, like, go diehard for me like that. You know, I have people that would testify, like, under oath, but that's a little different than, like... These pages are disgusting about me, you know.
Yeah, who become like little armies for people, and like it's like a like, are you Team Depp or are you Team Heard? Like, there's this like weird grossness on the internet that when there is a feud, I feel like people just pick their avatar and then go after the other person, even if they don't have skin in the game, which is really gross. And also, like, you guys are real people. Like, yes, you're influencers and you have some notoriety, but, like, your lives are online. Like, those things really affect you guys. And I guess my question is, you know, like, because those people that did come out, like, technically they're coming out anonymously. They're coming out in a way that's, like, hearsay. You know what I mean? And we keep thinking of hearsay as this thing that's, like, something we can't rely on, something that we can't trust in. Like, how did you feel about the idea of hearsay before all of this happened? Because it seems like you made the decision to start sharing, but I mean, did you ever have like I would love to know your mindset around sharing those stories, and yeah, tell me more about that.
I mean, I think like I vetted them to the best of my ability, and like I don't see anybody's reason to make up a story like that and lie. You know, what do you have to gain of lying about being sick from a diet to me on the internet? There's no gain for me. There's no gain for them. You know, if somebody hated Tanya Zuckerbrot so much, they can make up a fake page and talk shit about her all day long. Like, you know, telling me they got sick from her diet is not going to cancel her. If it was one person, if it was two, I was getting hundreds, then thousands of messages a day. This is this woman was selling $1 million worth of product a month, 175,000 orders, according to her. That's a lot of protein powder. That's a lot of people in a very short period of time. So there are validity to these claims, and I did the best of my ability to vet them. I'm not a journalist. I never claimed to be a journalist. I begged the media to cover the story. They didn't want to pick it up, so I kind of took the baton from there.
But then they eventually did pick it up. I mean, you had the New York Times article, which was obviously a huge article, and I assume the two journalists, I think it was Katie Rosman and Abby Ellen, like, they vetted you and they, you know, they put in, you know, like the one story that seemed to sneak in, but everything else they seem to vet and say, like, you know, they stand behind the story still to this day, I assume.
Everyone has vetted what I've said. Major publications, Wondery, these are massive companies. They don't just put things out. There's no question to anyone of the validity of what I did except for Tanya Zuckerbrot and her army of loyal followers.
Now, Tanya hasn't spoken much. I mean, obviously, we would love to also have Tanya on the show.
What? She goes live every day.
She might go live, but I don't feel like she talks about the story in the same way you do. I feel like she lives her life online and does her F Factor thing. I don't feel like I've heard from her too much of the side of the story. Again, like I see accounts on her behalf. I don't know if I necessarily see her speaking so much. You're saying you think you see her all the time. Do you think she talks about this case and I'm just missing it?
Yeah, she talks about me a lot. Okay. But she doesn't speak to publications that much because my opinion is that she liked the media when they were pro her. So when they said, "Yay, Tanya, everything you do is amazing. You're the best dietitian ever for Megyn Kelly and Olivia Culpo," she liked them. But now that if there's problems or there, she doesn't allow criticism.
Okay.
You're not allowed to criticize Tanya Zuckerbrot.
I see what you mean. Yeah, because I saw some of the lives that you shared that where she was talking about you, and I believe in one of them she compared you to Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yes, she compared me to a serial killer that eats people. She said I'm like a serial killer that eats people.
But
so,
you're saying, I see what you're saying. So it's more like she's willing to speak if it's like one sided, like she's telling her side of the story, but like she's not willing to take questions.
Yeah, like every mm-hmm. interview that I've done with every major publication has said, like, just so you know, we're gonna reach out to Tanya. Like, I know that that's how this works now. Like, for fair journalism, everybody reaches out. But I don't think if she can't control the outcome, she's not interested. So in her lives, she can control it, and you know, in her world, she can really control the narrative. If somebody's asking a question though outside of her world and she doesn't like it, you know, that gets iffy, I think, for her.
Do you think there's a chance? So obviously, like I spent a lot of time just looking through the complaints because that's what I do now is go through celebrity trials and read their complaints. And so I read through all of it. And one thing that stuck out to me, and I'm just wondering what you thought about it, is like in all of these complaints, one thing that she really points out over and over, and I think this is when she still had Lonnie Davis representing her, and Lonnie Davis is a really high profile attorney. I think represented Michael Cohen, represented like Bill Clinton, like a really high profile attorney, was pointing out how when, you know, this sort of online harassment was happening back and forth between both sides, that, you know, she would reach out or her husband reach out or people would reach out to Facebook and Instagram and say, like, shut this down. You know, this violates terms and conditions. Do you think, like, the way I read it, it really did feel like potentially she was setting herself up for a actual larger lawsuit against like the Facebook and the Instagram, and not to say it, like almost using you as a pawn. Like, I don't know if you feel that way. Do you feel like this is like this lawsuit is serving like a bigger need she's going after in the long game?
I feel like her legal counsel advised her, like, you're no chance you're going to win that. You know, like that's really going to be an uphill battle. So I feel like that's why make a public example out of me. And like, you know, where she can really drag me. But Facebook, Instagram, Amazon, you know, they have unlimited legal funds.
They have unlimited legal funds. But yeah, I mean, I know people, the Section 230 has been really brought up a lot of, in a lot of things of like how platforms, you know, let everything kind of be the Wild West. And, it, you know, I'm just wondering if maybe she's looking to be an activist in a different way because of this.
No, I don't know. She really only cares about herself. So if it serves her, sure. I don't think she's out there for other people. So
yeah, I think that this actually totally fits into that narrative too, Emily, though, because it could be very like kind of like culture wars, sort of like figuring into the larger like sort of conversation about social media and kind of censorship as well as sort of truth on social media. So I could definitely see that angle, Kiki. And I don't know. It's, this is giving me in terms of like in terms of like her, not just like personality and kind of brand, but it's giving me very like Mean Girls. It's giving me like, it's giving me, but in such a complex way that when I try to sort of like fit it all in my head, I really struggle to, I struggle to understand the controversy aside from really trying to focus on the victims and what's going on with the people, the things that actually happen to the people, which is maybe where the focus actually should be, you know?
Yeah. I've said, like, I think like the things that made it popular is like all the antics and like probably whatever, but I don't like that it took away from the victims and like, it's not a regret because like I did what I did and I have in the moment there are reasons why I did whatever I did, but like I wish that it could be recentered around, okay, these people got sick, that's why I'm trying to do this class action for them so that like they can get repaid, you know, some monies due to them and, you know, kind of move on.
If Tanya were to come to you today and say, look, like I just want this done, let's each take our losses. I don't even know how much you've spent in lawyers. I don't even, it would probably give me a heart attack. And I don't, you know, and we, and you said, let's each take our losses and go away. Would you walk away from this just so it would be over, knowing that like a case, like a class action couldn't go through, but just so that this would be done?
No, I really want to see FDA regulation. I want to see change in the space. I didn't go through all this for nothing. Like, there's no way that people should be telling people what to eat on the internet without, you know, if you talk about COVID, for example, right? If you talk about vaccine, a thing pops up on the bottom, like for information about the COVID vaccine. That's how it should be for people talking about diets. There are plenty of non-licensed, non-whatever people that are just out there shelling information. Who the hell knows if what they're saying is true or not? And especially about talking about a protein powder or a vitamin or things you're consuming. Like, to me, that's very alarming.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. After season one aired, I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. And of course, my 90-year-old mom, Judy. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me Season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Hi, I'm June Diane Raphael.
And I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And each week we are sitting down to talk all about life's twists, turns, and absurdities on The Deep Dive.
From exploring the depths of TikTok, which is our only news source, to navigating the complexities of grief and loss, we are just two best friends behind a mic processing life together.
This podcast is all about finding the silver linings in the madness. So get ready for unfiltered conversations about motherhood, careers, pop culture, and everything in between. Here at The Deep Dive, we're all about community. We believe in the power of sharing experiences and the strength that comes from supporting one another. And we would love to have you with us. So be sure to join us every Wednesday on The Deep Dive from Lemonada Media, wherever you get your podcasts.
I do want to point out, we heard in the last episode of Wondery, they tested the powder and they said it was the same results that I think that the Today Show or the Certificate of Analysis show. And so sort of like the powder seemed to say like, okay, this is safe. But is your point that even though that these certificates say that they're safe, that people were still sick and that needs to be addressed?
Well, first of all, yeah, there's a few things. They're safe, but like you need, I think it's important to point out the products used in her powder are, for example, not legal in Europe. So they're legal in the United States. They're not legal abroad, first of all. Second of all, they can get away with saying it's safe, but in California, it has a Prop 65 warning for lead. So let's say that you're okay with having a little bit a day. There's no warning for how much is too much. So people were eating it six times a day. So if one scoop has 20-something grams, they were eating 100, 120. So that's dangerous. That's a serious thing.
Yeah, and like baking into their cakes and using
sauce,
it. It's weird.
Salad
yeah.
dressing, coffee, smoothie, ice cream, you name it.
I will say, as someone who has been on diets, you know, for a large part of their life, like, we don't listen. I will say this for myself. Mm-hmm. Like, even today, there was a woman on TikTok, and she's taking these pills, and she said she lost weight, and I bought the pills. I'm not saying I'm a great example. What I'm saying is I bought the pills.
I got it.
And the pill on the bottle, it said, take one. I've been taking two every day.
Oh, my God. So why are you doing that?
I don't know.
Don't
but
do that.
What I'm saying is, like, I do, it's like I could see both sides of it, where it's like the manufacturer saying this is absolutely safe, but Kiki, you're a fucking idiot. And so,
but Kiki, you're not a registered dietitian claiming to help people, are you?
Yeah,
that's the difference. If you're a consumer and you're choosing to do that, then you wouldn't be suing them. If you got sick, would you say it's their fault? Also,
no, I'd be like, I'm a dumbass.
Yeah.
Do you think the reason they're not really specifying amounts is to get people to buy more and more and more because they think they need a lot of it?
They were selling $1 million a month. It's a lot of powder.
Exactly. Because it makes sense, because I feel like if you're, like, for example, taking like an ibuprofen or something, it tells you like, hey, take one every 8 hours and this is how much
it's a business. People forget it's a business. She can go online all day and say that she cares about people and she does this for people and she wants to help people, but it's not a nonprofit, right? She's suing me for loss of income.
Yeah.
It's a business.
Do you have fears that this is going to drag on for years and years and
yes.
like never end?
Yes.
Because where do you go from here? Like, I just, like, where do you go? Like, also,
I don't know.
Like, let's say this goes all the wrong ways. And let's say that you end up getting a judgment of $750,000. Like, for me, I would literally, like, pass out. Like, I know that I would, like, it would be the end. Like, but, like, what happens? Like, if that happens, like, can you move forward? You're saying it's never
going to happen. No, okay. I mean, if you're a lawyer and you really like reading the case, like there's no land where that happens. I mean, honestly, what I think is going to happen is that the judge is going to laugh and say this case is ridiculous. And even if I did slander her, which I didn't, but even if I did, she slandered me back. So it's like, you know, she's talked a lot of shit about me online. So I think it's going to end up fighting over who's going to pay whose legal bills. So who wins? The lawyers. And who loses? The victims. You know? Sucks. That's sad.
Lawyers always win.
They do. You should have been a lawyer.
How do the people around you, like, how is everyone reacting? Like, are they tired of it? Are they, like, totally there with you? Like, what's going on with your support network? Like, how are you keeping up?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely tired of it, but also they know and they understand and, like, you know, they want to see it through also. Like, this is kind of the this wave is the beginning of the end. Like, this Wondery won't be the last thing. This won't be over, but yeah. This is the final hump, in my opinion, to get law enforcement involved, to get government regulation involved, to actually make change. I got to make a little bit more noise to do so, but I'm willing to make that sacrifice in order to do it.
It's badass.
Well, Emily, I'm going to say thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me.
I know that this won't be the end. I know that my followers are still want even more. Even though we gave them like this whole hour of you, they're still going to be like, but I want more. I want to hear more side. And, you know, again, like, obviously, you know, look, not to make light of it, but this is my Real Housewives, and this I'm going to carry it on. So thank you for joining, Emily. Everyone can find you at Emily Gellis on IG. Anywhere else?
That's my main shtick. Instagram.
Well, thank you so much, Emily.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. Okay, well, now it's time for my favorite segment that we do every week, which is Sorry Not Sorry, where we either demand an apology from someone or we apologize. And this week, I'm going to start with Oha, like always.
So,
yes.
This week, like Kiki last week, this week I have to apologize to myself. We are really, truly our own inner saboteurs, you know? I have to apologize to myself because I've noticed a pattern in the past, like, I don't know, 30-something years of my life where I struggle to return things that don't fit me or that I don't want, right? And so I order these things and then I'm like, oh, I'm going to try it on. And then I try it on and it doesn't work. And guess whose packages just sit unreturned in like my little foyer area to the point where like now I'm out of that money because I just didn't return it. And now I have these pieces of clothing that I don't actually like. And I just truly need to get my shit together and I need to send that shit back. So I made a commitment with myself yesterday, essentially to like try to send it back at the very moment that like I receive them if I don't like them. So I'm really going to try to hold myself to that. This is not New Year's, so I can't call this a resolution, but I can call it a pinky promise from Oha to Oha. And that's it. I'm sorry, Oha. I'm sorry. You deserve that money back, and you
I feel
can't
you.
Get it.
I mean, wow. I'm looking at a outfit right now that I did not like. I don't want to wear, but it's well past the 45 days, and I'm stuck with it now.
So, what about you, Kiki? What's happening with you this week?
Oh, you know what? Like, I had sort of let this go, but I just like, I don't know if it was just this week in particular. It was really bothering me because I had all the windows open, and it just was like even more egregious. But my new neighbor, you know, I love my neighborhood. You know, I'm trying to like, you know, get to know my neighbors and be one of those people that actually knows their neighbors. Because in New York, I never knew my neighbors, right? You know, I feel like something about California me wants to know my neighbors a little bit more. But there's this one neighbor and he has a motorcycle. And you know how I feel, like the sound of motorcycles just really get under my skin in a way I can't explain it. And every morning, like clockwork, he revs his motorcycle right outside the window, which is like, and just like, vroom, vroom, vroom. And then before he takes off, and I'm just like, but why? But why is that necessary?
I truly think that's the only reason they have those motorcycles. It's for like, they just fucking love those noises. It's like when someone has like a BMW and you see them on the highway, they have to let you know that it makes that noise. And I'm just like, yeah, we are aware. We've heard it before. Like, I just want to know who does this impress.
Yeah.
Like, in their minds, like someone like, listen, like you're just like at 7 a.m., you just wake up and you're like, oh my God, this is so fucking awesome.
I think it just impresses other motorcycle riders and other, you know, hot rod driver. Like, it's like the only people who get turned on by that.
I know who it startles. I know who it scares. I know who it annoys. And that's me. But impress is not the word that I would use, 100%.
Oh, absolutely not. It's definitely not impressive. If you ride a motorcycle, I mean, I'm glad you're getting to places quicker than other people, I guess. But stop.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assessment.
Well, speaking of transportation, I know we've talked maybe like a week or two ago about like how people would listen to stuff out loud on the subway and that we hate that. Or yes. Sometimes they do it at the beach where they just play volume. It's just like the volume is like out loud and everyone has to hear what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I unfortunately need to apologize because I have done that last week.
What did you do?
I had my AirPods on and I thought what I was listening to was from my AirPod, but it was not. It was my phone. It was my phone. I was listening straight from my phone speaker on the subway.
A menace.
And here's the worst part. Here's the worst part. I wish at least people around me were like, okay, at least he's listening to these cool songs that we like and he's sharing with us. No. It was an audiobook.
Oh, God.
Now, everyone thinks I'm an asshole, also pretentious. I'm just like, look at me getting a knowledge on this
that's
train.
That's mortifying. What was the book, though?
It was the Surveillance in the Age of Capitalism.
Oh, God. You're such a pretentious asshole.
I thought you were going to say Peppa Pig right? Or something British.
God.
And this is the funny part. Well, okay, it's called The Age of Surveillance Capitalism. That's the name of the book. And it's so funny to me because I'm reading about that. I'm reading about surveillance and how, you know, like these companies like surveil you and like your information being shared with the public. And I was literally just doing that. I was volunteering what I was doing with the public of New York City. And I would like to apologize to everyone who was
And I'm just
that
imagining
city.
How loud your phone must have been for it, you thinking it's coming through the AirPods. It like the phone had to be pretty damn
loud.
Yeah.
Oh, oh my God.
It was loud. And it's so funny because, like, you can, like, it was like, you know, I was like wearing a mask on the train. I was like doing, like, minding my own. I was doing all of these things that you do to protect those people around you. But for some reason, that was the hill I was dying on, which is turning my volume on my phone and having everyone listen to it. So people cannot even assess what kind of person I was.
God. Yep.
But hey, if you're on the train and you know your headphones are on, make sure that it's not, you know, it's not your phone, and listen to this podcast. Continue listening to it on the train, and maybe, you know what, play it on the speaker. Share it
that
with other
people. That we will approve of. If you are listening to our podcast, blast it loud, let everyone hear, and be like, "What are you listening to?" Well, three of the funniest people I fucking know.
That's right, Kiki.
Yes.
I'm Sorry is a Lemonada Media original. The show is produced by Alex McCohen. Supervising producer is Chrissy Pease. Our executive producers are Stephanie Whittles-Wax and Jessica Cordova Kramer. Our mix is by Kat Yore, and theme music was composed by Xander Singh. If you like this show, please rate and review. And please don't cancel us. You can find out more about our show at Lemonada Media on all social platforms or follow us on Instagram at @I'mSorry_podcast. We'll be back next week. And until then, be nice, play fair, and always say I'm sorry. Thanks for listening.
3-0!
Hi, I'm Paul F. Tompkins.
I'm Lauren Lapkus.
And I'm Scott Aukerman. And together we make up the show
3-0!
We're comedians from Los Angeles who are also friends.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? And on our podcast, we just chat with each other, have fun, play games. It's just a good hang.
We just talk about everything that's happened in our lives ever before and up to now and what will happen next.
We see the future.
So the new season's out now. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Wherever you get them.
Wherever.
Listen.
Wherever.
Bye.
Last Day is a show about the moments that change us.
I just don't think I will ever get used to this.
I'm Stephanie Whittles-Wax, and I have had one of these moments. We all have. So let's unpack the chaos that is our human existence together.
I don't believe things happen for a reason. I don't believe the universe has a plan.
Each week, I sit down with a new guest to explore happy, sad stories of transformation.
It's leaning far, far into the pain. That's what it is.
Listen to Last Day wherever you get your podcasts.